Star jump sequence terminates, Captain.
Get the gravitational dampers online and open the blast shield.
Aye, sir.
Bring us in closer.
Aye, aye, sir. Moving us in on sublight drive.
Extreme magnification.
Aye, sir.
The center of the galaxy. And there's our black hole.
The experience of a lifetime, Captain.
Let me put this on audio. You should be able to hear the magnetic resonance.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. The edge of time and space, where the impossible can happen. Welcome to the event horizon.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever is relevant for the part of the world you are in. Indeed, welcome to the Event Horizon, where the impossible happens. Join us each week at this time as we delve into the worlds of science fiction, fantasy, and science fact in all their forms. I'm your host, Gene Turnbow. With me is my guest host, Christine Cherry.
Hello.
And our guest this evening is Drew Lyle, of Comic-Con Revolution. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you with us.
It's good to be here, guys. How are you?
It's been a year. You've been busy.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, we have, and it's great to be back. It's good to see you guys again.
It's good to see you.
We have had a very busy year, and we still have some stuff that's coming that the world is not privy to yet, so we're not even done yet.
Ooh, sounds wonderful.
Wrestling with our audio equipment here.
Can't,
there we go.
Can't wait for that. Congrats on another successful show last year. My husband and
Thank you.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah,
Glad to hear.
I attended as well, and it was fun. It was
good.
The Comic-Con Revolution, if you're listening, this year it's taking place in Ontario again.
Mm-hmm.
And the parking is like down the street. It's a little, you got to walk a block. But once you get there, the convention center is well laid out. The convention isn't overwhelming. You can actually see stuff and talk to people. And yet, you've got a huge lineup of celebrities. Would you like to?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this year is very exciting. You know, every year we build the show. This is year 9, believe it or not, that we've been at the Ontario Convention Center.
Mm.
And every year, obviously, it's got to be bigger and better than the previous year. And a few years ago, we started doing reunions, cast reunions, really grouping people together. And it's really become something that the fans have just embraced. And this year, we're really involved in some amazing ones, and we're covering a lot. We just recently announced Grant Gustin, so I'm going to kind of spill the beans a little bit that he will not be the only one from The Flash that we are announcing.
Awesome.
We're going to announce a couple more names this week and then a couple more next week. We're just finishing and finalizing some agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing with that, with the Arrowverse, we've got David Ramsey, who is John Diggle. We've got Katie Cassidy, who was Laurel Lance. We've got Katie Lotz, who was Sarah Lance. We've got Katrina Law, who played Talia al Ghul. So there's going to be a real good smattering from Arrow. We have a Battlestar Galactica reunion.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Katie Sackhoff, who also ties in, funny enough, to The Flash.
Oh, I
she
love
was,
her.
She was Amunet Black, so she was an enemy. She was a villain, a Rogues Gallery member on there.
Oh, neat. I didn't know
we've
that.
We've got Edward James Olmos. Then we've got our Cylons. We've got Trisha Helfer, Grace Park, James Callis. Then we're also doing a Beverly Hills 90210 reunion. If you're our age, you kind of grew up on them, and they taught us everything from, teen pregnancy to teen gambling to teen drug use and all that stuff. So we're very excited. We have Jenny Garth, Ian Ziering, who's also got a big Sharknado following, Brian Austin Green, who was also
a Sharknado following.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I mean,
you see, this is one of the things that I love.
There's been like 10 or 11 of them.
Have there been then that many of them? No.
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah.
Really?
I think there's more than that. I mean, I saw one the other day on whether it was FX or Sci-Fi. He was in outer space. And that one, no. The sharks were on, like, they were flying in space. It was like, it was very believable. That's all I can say.
I'm showing six of them.
Six, okay. Six. That's quite a few, though.
Yeah, it's still a lot.
Yeah, that's not the ones in production.
I have to say, as a creator myself, I love the Sharknado films. Not because they're good films, but because anytime I get depressed or any of my fellow creatives get depressed, I just remind them, look, somebody, if you're depressed about your own work, just remember, somebody said Sharknado 6?
Yep.
Sure, I'll pay for that.
they wrote a big fat check, and
they wrote a check.
Distribution, and you know the whole thing. But
and there's no,
so, yeah, like I said, just
yeah.
Just,
and there's no reason that your own that you can't get your own stuff greenlit. If Sharknado can do it, you can do it.
Oh, by far.
And and you know, listen,
it's
if that's
hilarious.
Not a sign of never give up, and no idea is too far fetched, and mm-hmm. nothing is too zany. I mean, again, I'm looking in that pitch meeting. And he's like, no. It's not a shark attack movie. Well, is it a tornado disaster movie? No. It's not a tornado disaster movie. It's a combo. There's tornadoes with sharks in them. And then I'm just picturing that exec going.
You just picture this.
Oh my gosh.
It's a meat locker. There are chainsaws suspended on the from ropes on the ceiling. They're all running and they're all swinging.
Yeah.
What and could possibly go wrong?
They're guaranteed to eat at least one star and bite their head off within the first 30 seconds of the movie.
100%. And
that's awesome.
That's good cinema.
So, well, Katie Sackhoff is also the Mandalorian. She played
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan.
That's right. I love her.
Bo-Katan Kryze.
Yeah.
She's the ruler of Mandalore.
And she loved that role. She's a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah. She has a podcast,
right. Well, who isn't? Actually, funny, she has a great I don't know if it's a podcast per se or a video thing, but it's always attached to her Instagram. It's in her stories and it's in her reels.
Yeah.
And
podcast.
One of them, she actually says that she's going back through BSG again. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't, when she did it when she was younger and like kind of, I didn't always watch it. And now she's watching it and she, you know, mm-hmm. she's commenting on it. And it's funny because it's very reflective, but. And again, I was a huge fan of that. I thought that was just an incredible series. Mm-hmm. So getting her perspective on it when she does that is very cool, too.
Fun fact, I worked on BSG, the reboot, in 2000. I was on the visual effects previs unit.
Very cool. That's a great fun fact.
Yeah, I was working in the same office with Gary Hutzel. He was like two desks over.
Nice. That's very cool. Lee, you learn new stuff about Gene every time we talk. That's fantastic. But, I mean, getting even away, and that's not even all the celebrity stuff. I mean, we've got, you know, voice reunions. So we're bringing in Rick and Morty. We're doing, and Summer. So we've got that if you're a fan of Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. We're doing a 35th anniversary celebration of Sonic the Hedgehog. Can't believe that game is 35 years old.
35 years old. Wow.
No, don't
and
depress
it all started,
me, please.
It all started on the Sega.
Yeah. I mean, have you guys ever read the book, The Console Wars?
I have heard of the book.
Challenge Nintendo. Great book. Great history. If you're into the history of gaming and stuff, it's a great book.
I still have to chew through Neil Halford's work on Heroes of Might and Magic, just released from Dark Horse, where mm-hmm. he covers a lot of the gaming that was going on during about that same era, but for PCs, you know, PC gaming. And New World Computing and all of that stuff. He and I were active in game development around the same time and knew all the same people and worked at some of the same places. So he's the tome is a thick coffee table. It'll keep your desk from flying away, that's for sure.
Well, that's the sound of a good book.
Yeah, it's really detailed. There's stuff in there that I had no idea. I have not read the Console Wars.
Yeah, it's a great one. I mean, if you know anyone who's listening, if you haven't read it, and like I said, you want to hear just an unbelievable story about how Sega took on Nintendo and created this character and how they pushed the marketing. It's a very cool story.
You probably have a better perspective on it than we do. You're much more tuned into the whys and wherefores of marketing.
We need to be
good at this.
Thank you.
9 years of Comic-Con Revolution. That's something. It's very hard to keep that energy going for that long.
And, you know, we obviously we survived a very unique time in the history
COVID?
Of America.
Yeah.
When we were trying to run a place where thousands and thousands of people congregated together. So that was a unique hiccup in the history of Comic-Con Revolution. But, you know, with year 9 of 60 or so days away, we're really starting to think about our 10th anniversary now and how do we make a 10th anniversary really special.
We're sort of looking down the barrel of our own anniversary. You are on episode 294 of the Event Horizon.
You couldn't save me for 300?
Apparently not.
Darn.
We would have had to have, so if we had, we you would have been off the end of the season. You'd have missed your convention.
Yeah, since it's weekly.
We've got another five or six episodes to go before we hit the big 300.
And that's amazing.
We have no idea what to do. I'm going to see if I can get Larry Niven.
Okay.
I
know you guys are going to come in May. In addition to those celebs, you know, let's not forget John Romita Jr. is going to be there.
Uh-huh.
Dan Juergens is going to be there. Chris Claremont's going to be there.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, I mean, they've only worked on a couple of cool comics over the years.
Okay,
just a few.
Start networking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I will certainly, tell them that you guys are legit. So,
yeah, that would be awesome because it would be great to be able to talk to them. The whole idea of building your own Comic-Con. What was the kernel of that? Where did you begin building it for the first time?
Well, I have two business partners, so James Ross and Mike Sigliano.
Uh-huh.
And the three of us actually all met at Wizard World in 2007-ish, something like that. And we had worked there together. And we always used to say to each other, man, if this was our show, this is what we would do. Man, if this was our, event, this is how we would run it.
Because they're
and
giving
everybody
you
says it.
This great example of how not to run a convention.
Well, it was that. And also, listen, whenever you work with somebody, for somebody, next to somebody, you always have your own ideas. And, you got to go with what the company says. And we've done our own things for a while.
It's very easy to do that because they have their heads down trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to insure this?
Right.
How am I going to negotiate? They have to negotiate the space and you're not privy to any of that.
Absolutely.
And all of the other nuts and bolts that nobody thinks about because nobody sees it.
Right.
And you get to, as an outside observer, you're looking at the extra trimmings that go on it and what make it a good fan experience, which is a separate task entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, we always say, listen, if it was easy, everybody could do it. And
exactly.
But again, we had talked about it and then we, drifted. We did our own things. Mm-hmm. And finally in 2016-ish, we kind of got together and if we're going to do it, we're all in a space right now where we feel like we can do what we want to do. And that was pretty much how it, launched. And
if you're going to do it, the time is now. This is it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And the show itself is really based upon what we think we would like and what a fan experience is for a family or for a hardcore collector or a someone who's just into cosplay or someone who just wants to meet celebrities. It's touching all those points to make really, not to be cliche, but something for everybody at our show. And the idea was we wanted to give it a feel where you're coming home again. You're going to see the people and speak to the people you like, and then sprinkle all the extra seasonings on top. And again, each year it becomes what worked, what didn't. There's big debriefs at the after in June, and this worked, this didn't. We could have done this better. We did this great, but we want to enhance it next year by doing this. And then really it's looking at what anniversaries are coming up. What celebrations are coming up. What are other shows doing that we don't want to overlap with? You know, and again, it's always looking 10 steps ahead. Again, what's coming up, you know, and again, for next year, year 10, we're already starting to think what anniversaries are coming up, you know, what can we touch upon, you know, what fan bases haven't been to the Inland Empire yet, what fan bases have that we should bring back, that we should explore further. So, like I said, there's, you know, there's a checklist of a million steps that we got to get through. And the good thing is for this year, we're probably on 999,000, you know, 965. So we're just about done with this year's checklist. And then we're staring at, you know, the year 10 show, and that checklist is just enormous. So
I can imagine. That's a great thing about pop culture, and that you cover so many different things, comic books and wrestling and science fiction and fantasy and cosplay and anime, is there's always going to be any match of a dozen different genres to choose from. So if you can't get everybody you want together for one, you can just look at the other. So,
Jean, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that all of that stuff in such a small space is the puzzle. It's a puzzle box. Trying to make all that work in the traffic flow without jamming people up and getting people upset that they can't cross the dealer's room because the lines are too long to see the celebrities. And somehow you managed that. You made that work in a way I haven't seen before.
Well, the floor placement we spend a lot of time on, and it's keeping those longer lines away from, away from the booths, like you said, mm-hmm. and creating those log jams at dealer tables. And we have had tremendous success because we moved Artist Alley into the Grand Ballroom. So it's off the main show floor, but it doesn't lose any kind of traction because we don't just put up-and-comers in our Artist Alley.
Mm-hmm.
All of our artists and creators are in there. You know, you're going to have somebody who's trying to get their book sold in the same room as Chris Claremont.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have the same person, again, who maybe is shopping their portfolio around in the room with Dan Jurgens. And because of that, it doesn't detract from what Artist Alley really is, which is a true celebration of creators. And whether they've sold a million books or they're penciling their first, it's a real room of creators. And that has become, you know, kind of the love letter to them. So like I said, that flows really well, because when you're in there, you're not getting, you know, worried about what's going on the celebrity floor. You're there to focus on what's happening in that room. And that's really something that's worked for us. When we first tried it, it was met with some resistance. We kind of just said, hey, trust us. And happily, it panned out how we envisioned. So
that's something. I have to check your table rates, because I myself have written a book. It's called Juniper Fairchild and the Altar Wearer. It's my first fantasy novel.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a great accomplishment.
Thank you. Anyway, I don't want a freebie. I'm not asking you.
James handles that. He doesn't give freebies to anybody.
That's
fine.
Customer. Because if I can't, you know, if I can't make it work financially, you know, then that's on me. I got to rethink how I do things. It's a puzzle to solve. It's all part of the, you know, it's a survival of the fittest situation, definitely. But it's great that you have this sort of collegiate atmosphere in the Artist Alley. There's everybody's there, and it's great to see it when you go.
Right, and again, because if they're not in there, then we're creating a room that might not get the traction that it should. Because I always tell everybody, if you've never been to a comic convention, whether it's ours or anybody's, you need to spend time walking the Artist Alley because of what it is. It's the true creative, you know, and that's not to take away from the vendors on our dealer floor, you know, whether they're selling comics or collectibles or
stuff they've made. Then there's a fair bit of that.
Whatever it may be. It's just so, like I said, that to me, that's a really unique place, because you're seeing people, whether, again, it's someone who finished their first fantasy novel, like you, you know, again, or someone who is, you know, or someone who's like Timothy Zahn, who's obviously made an incredible career for himself, expanding the Star Wars universe and creating characters that, you know, we never knew on film, and now we can't get enough of on the small screen. So,
right. Yeah. I adore this, the synergy that happens at your convention. It's just, you go there and it's a vibe and you just feed off of it.
It's very friendly. It's very relaxing. My friends, my husband and I spent as much in Artist Alley supporting artists as we did in the dealer's room last year. And I got some pretty cool stuff. I couldn't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
That's great. I love hearing that.
So you said you have some surprises in store. You can't actually talk about any of those yet, can you?
Well, I'm going to say with confidence that Grant Gustin will definitely not be the only cast member from The Flash who will be there. I am going to tell you that if you love the show, we are going to be delivering for you.
World premiere. You heard it here.
you're going to be able to get great, great group shots with, you know, upwards of five characters from the show. So
that's
like
crude.
I said, we're just not done announcing it, but we're going to be announcing some of the names this week and the rest of them next week. So like I said, and then something also came across our plate recently, which is a movie, an Oscar winner, Emmy winner, Golden Globe winner, who's going to be joining us as well. But like I said, I still have to figure out certain details related to that. But the good thing is that this person heard about our show from another one of our attendees, got excited about what we were doing. So that was a very cool moment for us because that's industry people talking to one another about what we're doing in a positive manner. So like I said, that's very exciting.
That is very exciting. Now, tell us again the specific details. When and where can we go to Comic-Con Revolution?
Well, go to ComicConRevolution.com and everything will be there for you. You can buy tickets, you can order your photo ops, you can buy autographs. It'll have all the paneling information, which should go up, I would say, in the next 2 weeks or so. So you can really plan your schedule. The show is at the Ontario Convention Center in Ontario, California, in the Inland Empire. It's May 16 and 17. If you're coming in for the day or the weekend, there's plenty of hotel spaces. You can find links on the website. To Gene's point about parking, if you're coming and you want to be close to the building, get there early. Those lots fill up very quickly. And then again, it is across the street. It's navigable, but it's, you know, if you want to get there and get in that early spot, you need to get there around first thing.
Well,
we'll have the movie Star Cars out front again. We have our amazing cosplay contest, which grand prize this year you're going to get. We always create a replica of like a WWE championship belt, which is like a big 20-pound thing. No, it's no joke. I mean, so that's cool. And then I think the grand prize is also an experience at iFly. So kind of the idea of that, you know, you get to live out your superhero fantasy by going for a flight.
That's wow.
And my husband wants to know, are the food trucks back? And is the habanero pizza truck back?
Well, the food trucks will be back. We don't have the final list yet, but we will definitely have them back. And you can tell your husband that was one of my favorites. So I will be pushing for it, assuming that they are available.
Awesome.
Drew Lyle of Comic-Con Revolution, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Sci-Fi.Radio's The Event Horizon. It's been great having
you with
us.
Absolute pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
And we are out. Let me stop the recording. You have been listening to episode 293 of Sci-Fi.Radio's production of The Event Horizon for March 21st, 2026. Our guest this evening has been Drew Selden, the showrunner of Comic-Con Revolution. The 9th annual expression of this comic book and pop media convention is set for May 17th and 18th, 2026 in Ontario, California. This show will air again tomorrow, March 22nd at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, and again on the upcoming Thursday and Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern. After all of the airtimes have passed, you will find this episode and others on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbay FM, Pandora, Stitcher, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and of course on our own website at sci-fi.radio. If you enjoyed the programming you have just heard, please consider visiting patreon.com/sci-fi radio and becoming a patron of the station.
We are fully listener-supported sci-fi and fantasy fandom radio, and your contributions go towards paying our DJs, our production team, the writers for our Geek News website, our business operation fees, our music licensing, and much more. We have been broadcasting on this basis continuously since 2009, and we are grateful for the support of listeners just like you. That URL is, again, patreon.com/sci-fi radio. This episode of The Event Horizon is copyright 2026 by Krypton Media Group Incorporated. The Event Horizon on sci-fi.radio. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.